Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Rivalry Radio, where every rivalry matters, but none more than one. And that one, Michigan, Michigan State. We got a lot to talk about today when it comes to both programs in basketball. But we're going to put a little spin on the show. We're going to talk about high school basketball and the state of Michigan basketball culture in general. So we're going to have some pretty cool topics today to talk about. May even add my high school, Tyler Hayward's high school. We went to the same one. Quick shout out. They're 20-point winners over Michigan Center, another very good team in that conference in the Cascades. This is the southern part of Michigan. But Tyler's with us now. Tyler, let's just talk about that first. Our high school, we haven't done this before. It's kind of fun. And it's pretty incredible because we talk about these things all the time, obviously, because we had a pretty awesome one ourselves. But the sustained success of Chad Mortimer and that Hannibal Horton program, our school, it's always going to be dear to our hearts. Talk about that because it's kind of cool. It's they continue to win. I think they may be as high as number three in the state. I got to look because I don't follow as much as I used to. But talk about that a little bit, man. It's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at some of the things that have inspired, not even just for Hannibal Horton, but in the conference itself. Go back and you look at certain Class A caliber players joining a rival school for a little bit. So I think that, Class C ball, I think it's something that's very underrated in the state. Kari Willis was playing Hannibal Horton on the regular at Little Christie. You look at certain guys at Flint Beecher, some of the top players in the state, Jalen Terry, supposed to be looking at Michigan State, Ernest Sanders,
Monte Morris.
Monte Morris.
Monte Morris.
He went to Iowa State. Ernest Sanders, who's at Flint Beecher right now, supposed to be looking at Michigan State since they're offering him football as well. Obviously, you know, Marquise Gray. We had a little run-in with him in the Final Four.
You're killing me today on a Saturday.
Yeah, I think what Hannah Morton's done to be able to sustain the success that teams like, when they were around Detroit DePorus, Brandon Cotton, to be able to have the opportunity to compete against Arante and Marcus Gray at Beecher. This year's Hanover team doing very well. They end up getting a shot at Jalen Terry, who's the top player in the state in 2020. So I think that they've got I think there's a lot of talent there, and I think it's going to be fun to watch. I think, this year's Hannibal Horton team is going to be something to keep an eye on. I mean, even later in the regular season, they're playing Imoni Bates, who's supposedly the number one freshman in the entire country, who's already got his list narrowed down to Kentucky and Michigan State. So I think it's cool to keep an eye on. It's going to be fun to watch the Hannibal Horton team moving forward.
It's just outstanding stuff there. Besides bringing up bad memories of Marquise Gray, thank you. But anyway.
16.
I was talking to a close friend who, his son plays in the state, and he had some really negative things to say. And I'm just going to say this because when you really think about it and you think of the whole big picture, you have to say, okay, to say the state of Michigan is not a good state for basketball is probably far-fetched because I think there's so many really good players, and I think it's just so underrated. So maybe that's why, we don't get the attention that other states do, but there's a lot of good players. I mean, you just said Class C. That's a low level of ball for many people. That's what they would say, but it's not. It's a high level of ball. There's a lot of really good players in this state that play Class C. that are good, that could play at the highest level. You know, this is a prime example. You know, Imani Bates, how do you say, and I'm still trying to figure that part out because I'm out here in the neck of the woods. And, you know, Tyler, I just sent you an awesome picture. Tom Izzo's here in Ipsy. You know, I live right outside of Ann Arbor, and it was powerful to see Tom watch a freshman in our state play a normal conference game. And that pumps me up because you know how I feel about how our best kids are losing. And the common theme is that it's going to continue, right? That's the trend. Our best kids, Kyle Bridges, you know, guys like that are going to leave, right? You know, they're going to go to Prolific Prep. They're going to go to a prep school, Rocket Lodge. They're going to go to
Sunrise Academy.
Right? Prep school. I don't want that. And I know you don't. I want our kids to stay here and play in rivalry games. I've spoke with college coaches who they're starting to turn to that. They want to see what a kid will do in hostile environments. And there's some great high school basketball in Michigan. And I want to apologize because I mentioned I thought it was down as well. I fell into that trap where I thought, oh, our state's not as good as others. It is really good, Tyler. It's really good. There's a game last night, Chelsea versus Dexter in my neck of the woods. You know, you would think that's level ball. It wasn't. It was a buzzer-beating game. Chelsea won at the buzzer. Really good basketball. And I'm telling you, this is powerful. One more thing before we get to Michigan State and Michigan. Talk about not only that, but why you think it's even more important for kids in our state to stay.
Well, I think one reason they may want to consider doing something like that now, and this is obviously looking a little bit into their future, great at. I think when you look at the level of play around the Midwest in basketball, I think it's huge to say the Big Ten is the toughest conference top to bottom, and obviously that's high-level ball, but even smaller schools, another school that you and I are both affiliated with to an extent, Spring Arbor University, is one of the top NAIA schools in the country right now. They're top 10.
Right.
And
yeah,
they've been, it was a slow developing process under Ryan Cottingham, you know, and I got to go along for the ride for their second tournament birth in school history as the play-by-play guy. And
mm-hmm.
But he's starting to develop a lot more consistency out there, and I think, you know, even in their conference, teams like Bethel, they're usually near the top of the food chain in NAIA D2 ball. So it's a great place for basketball in the Midwest. For a while I literally lived right across the street from Bethel, and I'd get to go and watch some very, very good basketball. You know, just one night when I had nothing else to do, I just walked across the street, $5, high-quality ball right there. So it's incredible to see what's going on around this area. And so I think staying in the vicinity, at least, I think would be huge for a lot of these kids.
Yeah, I think, you know, you made a good point there about talking about the Midwest in general because, you know, when we get out of our state here in Michigan, you start thinking about Indiana, Ohio, Illinois, it's just really powerful, man. And the level of play is just, I think it's the highest in the country as a whole.
You look at what's going on right now. You can start the weather. Don't talk to me about doing football. That's why the SEC usually gets that respect or whatever. Everyone's going to be in the gym right now because nobody wants to be outside.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to go in the gym later for probably 6.5 minutes and get my workout in. So, you know, my time's done. But I can tell you, you know, growing up, you know, I mean, this was times when we were in the gym, you know, when we were playing and we were playing pickup and we were getting shots up. Because, yeah, there's 6.5, 7 inches of snow. Forget this. We're not going to go outside probably as much. But then again, we would play basketball outside. And I think that made us a little tougher. I had a great conversation with Andre Proano, who's from California, and he gives me a hard time about this weather, and he said, wow, that's pretty impressive that you guys actually still played basketball outside in snow. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I think it made us tougher, and he has a huge appreciation of the toughness of the kids in the Midwest. Common story of, hey, your driveway's full of snow, hey, get the shovel, clear it out, let's go to work. And then I did that my whole career as a youngster, and it paved me, you know, paved the way for me to become a pretty solid basketball player. But, yeah, I'm excited, Tyler, obviously, because I just had a wonderful conversation with a close friend of mine who his son plays in Michigan. He had a lot of bad things to say about the state. When you really slow down and you think about it, we have a great state of basketball players. And it goes to schools like Spring Arbor, kids who might not be D1 top-level kids who are really good, though, and they can go to small schools. But we're, obviously this show is Michigan, Michigan State, so we're going to talk about that now. Tom Izzo in town, in IFC watching, Moni Bates, awesome stuff. We're going to talk about culture at Michigan State. I think Tom Izzo's onto something. I think he's really recruiting outstandingly. He's not only getting the top kids, you know, and you mentioned it, and you had a good point, that maybe he's going to get those kids who are like Cassius Winston, who will stay 3 years. Great Michigan kids. Moni Bates might be different. You know, this could be a pro. But talk about that, because I know I sent you the pick. I had a friend who was at the game. His kids go to the IFC Lincoln. Talk about Tom Izzo, what he's doing recruiting, and why it's so powerful.
Well, I mean, he's sticking to the process, but at the same time, he's getting those elite kids that stay in the state of Michigan. He's getting guys like Xavier Tillman, who, I mean, he didn't have the greatest game against Nebraska in state. He didn't leave and go somewhere else, even though he could have, and he could have been in better basketball shape when he arrived on campus. You look at Cassius Winston, same thing. You look at Jesuit right now. He's the Big Ten Player of the Year right now.
No doubt.
Mid-season, 40 minutes, first team All-American. He's playing absolutely lights out, carried Michigan State and Lincoln. So he's getting those high-quality guys, those guys who it may take a year, in Cassius Winston's case, to really take that step to be everything that you're expected to be. Foster Lawyer, it might take 3 years for him to get there. He's getting those guys who are willing to, when they come into college, these kids are talented, but when they come into college, they're culture shock. You're not the best player on the floor.
Sure.
You look at Aaron Henry. Aaron Henry, if he gets a couple buckets, we've talked about his willingness to try to take over the game. And it's a little bit of a shock when he all of a sudden starts missing or people start locking down on him a little more. He's not used to having to defer to guys like Nick Ward, to guys like Cassius Winston, to guys like, you know, God, whenever he comes back, Joshua Langford. So, it's a little bit of a culture shock. They realize how much harder they have to work. You know, Xavier Tillman dropped 20 pounds. Nick Ward dropped another 20. And he dropped 20 when he first arrived on campus. So, these guys are willing to work for it. Those are the guys that Tom Izzo wants. If you want to throw in the Miles Bridges or Jaren Jackson every so often, that's fine. If you want to throw in an Imoni Bates eventually, that's cool. But as long as he sticks to this core where he can get these veteran leaders to get in the freshman superstar space and let them know, hey, you're not doing your job, then that's the recipe for success for Tom Izzo.
Absolutely. No, I mean, this is awesome what we're talking about because, I mean, I'm just having these conversations. The cool thing and also the ironic thing is Michigan's going a different direction, and I think – I hate to say this, but look, we have our own opinions. I think he's going to struggle if he doesn't get those Michigan kids because this is still, you're still, even though I always say U of M is the only school in the state of Michigan that's not Michigan, it's different. You know, they are not the type of school. It's a different world, U of M. They are not really Michigan where they're going to get kids who typically are not from our state. And when I step up and I have pride in my state, even though I am
our country,
you know, I might love the U of M, but I'm still from Michigan. So when Tom Izzo drives down the road and he's 8 miles from me and he's watching a kid who's quote unquote the number one kid in the country, and he's in my hood, I'm starting to feel good about Sparty. I'm starting to feel a little pride. And obviously basketball is different for me and you. We have a lot of respect for each other because we love basketball. So I love when I see State do well because I think it's awesome that that's my favorite sport. And in my state, I got a guy like Tom Izzo, and I love Tom Izzo. But John Beilein better be real careful, and that staff. You got a couple assistants who are from this state. You got to find a way to get the top kid in your own state. You have to. You have to find a way. I'm messaging guys that, you know, are college athletes living down the road for me who are posting pictures of Tom Izzo. That is deep. And I don't care what anyone says. You can't let that happen. You've got to find a way to get that kid if you're Michigan. Not saying, hey, Michigan's doing a great job. I'm not knocking what they're doing now. I'm saying in near future and long term, Tom Izzo's onto something here. He really is. He is really – he's from the state as well. He's from this state. He gets it. There's a pride about it, and he's Michigan made. And I'm telling you right now, it's awesome. It is really awesome. And, you know, Rocket Watts did go prep. He's at Spire now, you know, in Ohio. But, hey, he's a Michigan kid. He's going to state. He's not going to Michigan. And Rocket Watts is probably like a Cassius Winston. It might take him a year or two, but he might be in the same position as Winston in 2 years. You are absolutely right that program Michigan State is at its best when what we are seeing right now is happening. When it's a couple years of development, that's what it takes to be a great player anyway. You're not at your best at 18, 19, 20. You're at your best at 22. You've had a few years of seasoning. You're now a pro. And you're doing great. Cough, cough, Draymond Green. Exact same story. Stuck it out. Played at MSU for multiple years. 4 years, right, Tyler? He was there 4 years, right?
Yep. All four.
So that tells you all you need to know about what that program is. And look, he's an all-star type player. People are talking about him being a Hall of Famer. That's when it matters the most. That's when it matters the most as a player. And I think Michigan's doing a great job as well. I mean, I would never knock what Beilein's doing. And I eat crow because I used to talk poorly about his softness. But I think in the future, something, you know, he's going to have to start recruiting better in the state of Michigan. You know, Brandon Johns, great player. Hey, that was a good pickup. I think State in their backyard, that was a big move. But you're going to have to start getting kids like Bates in your backyard. You're going to have to start getting kids like Rocket Watts, Detroit, Cassius Winston, Detroit, Miles Bridges, Flint. You got to get those guys. And that's where the rivalry is fun. This is where it's fun because
First things first, you know, if you're going to try digging around Flint or whatever, trying to beat Tom Izzo, you're out of luck. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, not happening.
Second, I think the one issue is where this type of thing that Beilein's doing becomes a concern is you are recruiting a little more nationally. You're recruiting internationally. You look at Iggy Dickus and you look at Mo Wagner and guys like that. When you go that large scale, there's a higher percentage of you losing, let's say, to let's talk about someone Michigan State's familiar with losing to. Let's talk about Duke. Let's talk about Vernon Carey. Isaiah Stewart is announcing Sunday. Once considered very heavy Michigan State lean, now it's looking like, hey, maybe Utah pops in. Maybe Duke came in at the last minute because Vernon Carey's been working. But when you go nationally, you have more of a chance of losing to these other schools, these campuses. They've not been in those types of battles, and they're going to start losing those recruiting battles, and you don't carry the same weight. And here's as great, like I said, Michigan's been great. They won the Big Ten tournament. They went to the championship game last year. They're not Michigan State yet. They still won the Big Ten by 2 games last year. You know, they've gotten up there, but you're not one of those blue bloods. You're going to lose more nationally. If you fight with Michigan State and you go back and forth, you know, some kids do grow up Michigan fans in the state and they want to play there. If they don't get offered there, they'll go to state. They'll prove them wrong. I mean, You don't even look at a football scenario like that. Devin Thomas, you know why he wore the number 5 at Michigan State for the Fab Five.
Yep.
And he ended up lighting up this.
Sure, I want to add this. One thing I will say in Michigan's defense, you know, I know I have some strong words because I do have that pride in the state. They are recruiting outstandingly out of state. Jalen Wilson, who's coming in next year, is, you know, a 4- or 5-star kid. I think he's a 5-star. You know, he's from Denton, Texas, outside of Dallas. He's outstanding, and he's an unbelievable player. He's the type of kid that you bring in that is the level of Tim Hardaway Jr., if you really want to know. I mean, that's how good he is, 6'8", small forward. They're recruiting very well. That's not our conversation that Tyler and I are having. Our conversation is near future, you know, long term.
If you lose, battles, who do you go to after that? Then you have to go to the state where Michigan State's already making their push, and they've been making a push probably for a couple of years at this point. Then it's an issue, and so it could spiral out of control. I don't think it will. Like I told you the other day, I think he is my second favorite coach in the Big Ten, and for him being at U of M, that's saying a lot for where my loyalties lie. So I think
it's awesome. It's just a good topic.
Spiral
of
out of control. I don't think it will, though. Yeah, it's just something that could happen when you tend to go out of state a little more. It makes it harder to bounce back if you lose those battles. Michigan State lost Vernon Carey. They may lose Isaiah Stewart, but guess what? Next year they'll get Jalen Terry. They'll get Ernest Sanders, and now things start to change a little bit. And you're back on track, and it only took a year.
Yeah, no, I think that, I mean, just great stuff. I mean, I'm so pumped today, you know, because this warms me up because it's freezing out here and there's a ton of snow. And I'd like to talk about something that, you know, gets the fire started. And this is a type of topic that does because, you know, we've got two teams in our state that are top 5. Flat out. Michigan State is a top 5. You could say top 4. I think these are two Final Four teams. So now we look at, okay, this is great now. What's going to happen in the near future? Okay, recruiting is where everything is at. So Michigan State's doing great. Michigan's recruiting differently, still doing great. They're probably always going to recruit the same way. I get a little frustrated, of course, because, I can't help my ego and my pride. I love the state of Michigan. So I'm a little disappointed why can't we go to Flint? It's stamped, it's sealed, Michigan State's winning the state. And I don't think it's going to change. But I wonder why. I wonder why, because we do have two assistants who are unbelievable players from this state. And I know that they've got to have a little sense of pride wanting to recruit heavily in this state. So I look to see what will happen. Maybe it will change. It's going to be hard. It's going to be doubtful to see a change. And, we still got two awesome programs. Today, Michigan's got Wisconsin. John Beilein, 2-11 in his tenure on the road at Wisconsin. I really have doubts today. I have a bad feeling for Michigan. They have played outstanding, but I think that there's always that game that can humble you. And also with some of Iggy's comments, I think this is the perfect time to be humbled. Talk about Wisconsin-Michigan today. It's the big one. On your first initial thoughts on the game.
I mean, Michigan is a hot and cold team offensively. The way Wisconsin plays defense is – Michigan starts cold. It may be tough to try to get that rhythm back. I'm really looking forward to see what Ethan Happ does. He's got an opportunity here to live up to his expectations. Certain games he'll show up, but he doesn't do enough to win. Very Matt Stafford-like in that aspect. He'll put up great numbers, but it's just not enough. Wisconsin, they still have Iverson there. They've got Demetri Trice healthy again. I think that they're a good team. I don't think they're enough for Michigan because where Wisconsin's good defensive team, obviously Michigan's just as good. If not, well, they're better. And Wisconsin's offense isn't stellar by any stretch of the imagination. It never has been. Been known to muck it up. I just think that I just think that Michigan's got a better offense. It's a little it's more inconsistent. Wisconsin's just consistently bad. Michigan's inconsistent, or either good or they're bad. So, and I'll take that any day, because at least you're good sometimes. They've got a better offense.
Yeah.
They've got a better defense. This is the type of game that Michigan wins, I think, running away.
Wow.
Wisconsin, like I said, they're a good team. They're just not good enough. You got a bad offense going against a great defense. It's just a recipe for failure all the way through. And so I think Wisconsin's going to lose this game. They're good. They're not as good as they have been before. And in all honesty, I think there's two teams in the Big Ten that can actually upset Michigan. I think there's more that can upset State, but I think Michigan State's playing like that right now. I think Michigan State's the team to beat still in the conference.
Oh, yeah. No, they're playing the best. You know, Michigan State's playing better basketball than anyone else. And I think, honestly, Michigan hasn't had a road game like this yet. And I think they're going to have some major struggles. If they win, I think it's going to come down to the end. I really think, you know, that arena is going to be rocking today. And they're going to want to win that game. It's a big one for Wisconsin. And I actually do think Wisconsin's going to get the upset today. And I think they're going to play their best game of the year. And I think Ethan Happ's going to have a very good game. I think they're going to get in foul trouble with Happ going against Teske. I think if Teske gets in foul trouble, I think look out. I think Wisconsin really eats up the paint. You know, Michigan's a great team, but I just think these are the type of games where it's bound to happen. You know, they're not going to go unbeaten. You know, you got crazy Michigan fans who just don't understand the whole game. And it's just a bad basketball culture U of M. They just don't seem to understand it, that this should be powerful and exciting for everyone. But you know how the fan base is. It's fake a lot of the times. A lot of the people don't understand how the Big Ten works. A lot of the fans don't seem to understand that you should be more excited about basketball than football at this point, but they're not. They continue to talk about the new hires in football instead. So, you know, it's just how it is here, where Beilein's done an outstanding job, doesn't get enough credit. I'm a prime example of never giving him credit. And, you know, it's just the culture here in U of M. Basketball is secondary. It always will be, no matter how good they are. And I think this is the type of game where Wisconsin beats them, and then again, they just continue to talk about football. And, you know, it doesn't matter. And then Beilein will have another great year. And it's sad. And I think that's also why they lose in recruiting for the state. Because I think that people in this state understand that. They understand Michigan State is basketball first and Michigan's football first. Doesn't mean that Michigan's better in football. It's just the attitude. It's the attitude that football is most important, and that's all that matters. You know, there's articles still talking about football. It's like, get over it. You guys are not winning anything. You know, get behind basketball, move on, and just embrace it. And they just don't. And I think that's what does hurt them in recruiting in the state. I really do. I think the culture's better in state, at Michigan State, that is. And I think it will continue. So, obviously, we know how good both teams have been this year. We're excited about it. Let's keep talking about culture, because – you know, the things I just said, I think that you would agree with, Tyler. And even though we don't agree always, I think we're on to something when it comes to recruiting. Talk about one thing that I think is really important. Pro basketball players coming from both schools. Obviously, Michigan State has an NBA champion in Draymond Green. Talk about Michigan State and why they could probably still have the reins as far as player development. Because you know how Michigan gets all this credit for player development. Why would Michigan State get the championship still for that?
Well, I mean, look at Cassius Winston, Nick Ward. I think that's the first thing you do. I mean, Nick Ward, obviously there's a lot more to his story than people realized last year, where he was falling off. You know, you look at that recent great piece by the Big Ten Network on him, what his mom went through last year. No, she didn't have that massive surgery. You know, she he could have died, but Nick Ward driving to Columbus as much as he did, like everything else, like mentally, physically, it just kind of wore on him. But you look at what he did going into the NBA, seeing what the scouts said about him, and now he's having a breakout season when people thought, hey, you know what, maybe he peaked at the freshman after last season. But then you look at Cassis, his development used to be a turnover machine. He still occasionally has those games like at Penn State where he doesn't play well. Turnover machine, but his defense got so much better between this season and last season. You look at one guy who I'm really excited to see develop is Aaron Henry. He's going to be a fantastic player for Michigan State. You look at Miles Bridges, him wanting to come back. Jaren Jackson, he even thought about coming back. Jaren Jackson was a top 5 pick, and he thought he could develop more at Michigan State still, and he gave it apparently much heavier consideration than people believe. And he wanted to come back for another year at Michigan State, which, God, could you imagine the team then? But
yeah,
you look at it, these guys understand that developing players, that Tom Izzo does a great job. You talked about champion Draymond Green. Draymond Green, I think, obviously developed into, I mean, he's an all-world player now, and he came in just as a fat freshman and contributed about 1 point and 2 rebounds a game. And now he's, I'd say, one of the top 15, 20 players in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom Izzo has been developing players from day one. He's going to continue to do that. Like, if Deontay Davis had another year, if he were the go-to post player, you know, I think you'd see a completely different player than the guy who's already bounced around. I think, what, he's on his third team right now, fourth team right now. If he stays one more year, you know, I think maybe he has a proper home in the NBA. But even Bryn Forbes only played at Michigan State for 2 years after transferring from Cleveland State. And he's been lights out for the Spurs. He's been an incredible ball player for San Antonio. One of the guys they don't often talk about because San Antonio does have so many wing, point, combo type guys. But Bryn Forbes does it as well as a lot of other guys do in the NBA. So Tom Izzo's been developing players, and then you see the relationship when those guys come back, when Draymond gives $3 million for a new weight room, you know, when Miles Bridges comes back and talks about Tom Izzo.
I want to add this, Tyler. Sorry for cutting off because we got a little bit of time. I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I want to add this because this is breaking news, and it's not really breaking, but it happened this week, and I know you'll be extremely excited about this. Kalen Lucas signed a two-way contract for the Detroit Pistons. I'm ecstatic because this is a dream for any Michigander. He's from the state, obviously. And he just had an outstanding quote. Yeah, two-way with Grand Rapids Drive now and the Pistons. I know John Horford had been not two-way, but he'd been playing with the Drive. I think he's still maybe. I have to check on that, but don't quote me, but I believe he's still with possibly with the Grand Rapids Drive. He's a Michigan kid from Grand Ledge. But this is big time because Kalen Lucas had some struggles, obviously. He's played in Greece, played in Turkey, was with Memphis a little bit. But I love his quote. It's been crazy. It kind of feels like when I first signed with Michigan State. And you know, he said he's getting a lot of calls, texts. So Kalen Lucas, congratulations, two-way player now for Grand Rapids Drive and Detroit Pistons. So you'll see him in a Pistons uniform. So I am ecstatic. Michigan kid, great career at Michigan State. If he doesn't get hurt, good Lord, who knows what would have happened for his career. But he did not give up. He persevered. Talk about that, Tyler.
I think a national championship in 2010 would have been the first thing that he got.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I mean, it's fantastic to see these guys doing things. I mean, he said it's like when he signed at Michigan State. Well, yeah, he's from the Detroit area. He's from Orchard Lake, St. Mary's.
Yes.
He grew up watching you know, Bad Boys too. You know, Ben Wallace, Rashid, and all those guys won the championship. So I don't know if for a fan, but, you know, when you get an opportunity to come home like that, or if you're like Miles Bridges putting on, you know, an All-Star Weekend dunk contest show, like, when you do those when you do those things and you can still represent your city. I mean, we've been talking about players in the state. What Gerald Holmes, even a former Mississippi State running back, had some opportunities. I think he's signed a quick deal with the Seattle Seahawks, how he's still trying to help Flint with their water crisis and everything else. You see these guys come back and do things for the state. So, it obviously means a lot to Caitlin Lucas to have this opportunity. I mean, hopefully he makes the most of it, and hopefully he finds, this is his last stop.
Yeah. No, I think it's awesome. I mean, I think, it's big time to see this. It's awesome. Isaiah Whitehead also on a two-way contract with the Pistons and the Grand Rapids Drive. Seton Hall, Star, they had just mentioned him in the article as well. For some reason, I thought he was in Michigan. He's not. He's born in Brooklyn, New York. But both players obviously signed two-way contracts, and one obviously dear to our hearts, Keelan Lucas, because he's from the state. So, Michigan's done well as well when it comes to pros. You know, Timmy Hartley Jr. has done pretty solid. You know, Trey Burke's been kind of like a Keelan Lucas back and forth with the Knicks, though. And Nick Stauskas has done pretty solid for sure. And Robinson, who's not a Michigan native, but did play at Michigan. And, you know, the thing about it is this is how it works. Both schools are getting guys to the league, and they're doing well. But it's just a little more important for us when those guys that go to the pros that play at state are from our state. And that's why it's pretty cool. And we're excited. I'm going to keep pumping this up, Karen, and I know that you will, even though you're in Indiana and you got to hear all the Notre Dame stuff and you hate it. You can stick your chest out a little bit, because you could say, hey, my state's got big-time basketball players, and this is why. Here's the proof. Because I don't think people realize it. You know, I had a guy
first things first, down in Indiana here, man, it's or down in the South Bend area, it's all about football. You know, a bunch of fake Notre Dame fans, you know, they'll pump their chest out during football season. I'll be like, hey, you watched Michigan State just throttle Notre Dame last night? No, how much they lose by 30. Oh, no, I didn't even know they were playing each other. No, you know what? So basketball, Indiana's a fake basketball state. I'll go ahead and I'll say it, all right? You know,
yeah.
Thank you for Brandon Dawson. That's cool, but.
Yeah, thank you for your players, too. We have great players as well. Yeah. And I want to end on this, because this is how underrated we are as a state. And this is, you're going to love this. My last year playing professional basketball was in 2011. I'm playing for a Seattle team, minor league. We play overseas exhibition games. We also, the NBA was locked out that year. And we had great players on this team who had been overseas, and it was a developmental team pretty much. And one of the star players on our team, you know, he had a great career. He played, I think, at UTEP. And he said, where are you from, man? I said, I'm from Michigan. He goes, oh, man, there ain't no players there that are any good. I said, oh, how about Magic Johnson? he goes, Magic Johnson's from Michigan? Yes, he is. And he's a Hall of Famer and probably the best point guard of all time. So slow your roll,
second best
people,
player
and I'm going to slow
time.
My roll.
Second best player
of
all time.
Yeah, me, yeah. Right. So, you know, this is where we even need to be a little more, boastful. I wouldn't even say boastful, but prideful, that our state is great. And we understand it, and there's great players even at the lower levels that play in small colleges. And we've also got big-time guys. We've got big-time guys who had great careers in college who are playing in the NBA. So I'm going to say, hey, the state of Michigan's great, and we love it. And we got a big game today, Tyler, obviously, Michigan and Wisconsin. We've got two teams in our state in college who are top five, top four, in my opinion.
Michigan State, Maryland,
and,
Monday night.
Yeah, Michigan State, Maryland, Monday night. It's going to be a big one. Maryland's playing good ball right now.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
So, really quick, one thing that I got to add. You know, speaking of Magic Johnson, you know, the guy who got him to Michigan State, you know, rest in peace, Gus Kanakis, didn't get an opportunity to talk about it the other day. Gus Kanakis has done absolutely amazing things for Michigan State. No Gus, no Judge, no Magic, no Izzo, you know. So he kind of started this trend at Michigan State. And so, you know, rest in peace to Gus Kanakis, you know, thoughts and prayers to his family and everything he's done for the state of Michigan and Michigan State University.
Yes, outstanding. You know, rest in peace, Gus Kanakis. He's always fun to listen to for me, even being a Michigan fan. So he has been instrumental to Michigan State. Learned a lot this week about him, even more so than I already knew. I thought he was outstanding on the air. So, yeah, outstanding ad there, Tyler. Again, Rivalry Radio, where every rivalry matters, but none more than one. That's Michigan, Michigan State. We'll get back on tonight, man. We'll talk some more. Yeah, we'll talk more, obviously, about this stuff, and we'll get this on the page. Thanks again, Ty, and I know you'll be rooting for those Badgers today.
Come on, Hap. Well, it's the Michigan State tie. You know, I'm rooting for Travis Trice's little brother.
Right. No, I totally understand you. It's nothing to do with your disdain for Michigan. All right, Ty.
I'll
let you get going, man. Enjoy your wedding. Tyler's got it. This guy's got more weddings to go to. Always on Saturday.
Oh, my God. At least they're not during football season.
Right. At least it's not football season. Tell your wife, thank you so much for waiting. Tell your friends to wait. No more weddings in the fall. All right, Tyler, I appreciate my man. We'll be on soon. Tyler Hayward, another voice of Michigan State Athletics. Can't wait to talk to him after this weekend's game, Michigan-Wisconsin, they play today, and obviously Michigan State-Maryland. Again, this is Rivalry Radio, over and out.